election sure? For if you do these things, let's just look at that passage. 1 Peter 1, let's look at verses 10 through 13. Let's read these. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, what are these things? The things he's mentioned in verses 2 through 9. Basic principles of the Word of God, of the grace of God that we need in our Christian's life. If you do these things, keep reading, you will never stumble or fall. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Apply these principles, he says, by the grace of God, taught in verses 2 through 8, and you won't stumble, you won't fall in your Christian life. You'll be able to live the abundant, victorious Christian life that God has for you with regards to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 12. For this reason, this is why he wrote, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. The reason he writes is to remind these believers of the truth that they had already heard, that they had already known, that they had already been established in, but the tendency for you and for me oftentimes is to forget in our Christian life. We need to be reminded of these things. Verse 13. Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent, in his physical body, to stir you up by reminding you, again, of the principles of the grace of God, of the foundational truths that you and I need for the Christian life. You see, again, the tendency for every Christian is to forget the basic principles of the Word of God, or things that they have been taught and forget them in their Christian life, and then they stumble, and then they fall. And then they say, why is this happening to me? Well, that's why we're having a series like the ABCs for Christian Growth. This is a foundational teaching so that we can remember these things. Go with me to chapter 3 of 2 Peter. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, he says, Beloved, I now write to you a second epistle in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, there's that word again, that you may be, notice, be mindful, be thinking of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostle of our Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior, knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. For this they willingly forget. There's the word again. So what is this passage telling us? It's telling us to remember the basic principles you've been taught. Be mindful of these truths. And don't forget the things that I taught you. This is our tendency, and this is why we need to study like the ABCs. Let's pray, and then we'll study. Father, we thank you again for your grace and again for the opportunity we have to open the Scriptures, to again hear the Word of God and to allow your Word to find a place in our mind and our heart that we might not be forgetful of the principles that we need. Thank you, Father, again for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that the Word of God is going out in all the world. Where it's not just us here at the Grace Gospel Bible Church. There are believers all over the Twin Cities, all over the state of Minnesota, all over the world. Father, we need to be stirred up. We need to be reminded and taught these principles again and again and again. Father, we thank you again for Peter's words and challenge us even to think about these things. And we commit all this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, friends. Tonight we're looking at the introduction to the ABCs and principles of growth by God's amazing grace. And we want to look at that first part there, Roman numeral 1, on your handout, the introduction to the course in the textbook. We do not follow this textbook exactly. I brought my textbook. Mine is just like yours if you ordered one, only mine has an old cover. I got mine years ago. Now they've got a new cover on it, and they oftentimes do that, repackage the book. And these books are available if you'd like to sign up. And if you have signed up and you have purchased your book, I want you to find your name on that list and cross it out because I need to order some more so I know how many to order. We don't want to over-order, but again, this is the book. It's called The ABCs for Christian Growth by J. Hampton Keithley. He was a pastor in Spokane, Washington, for 28 years, and he is with the Lord. He's graduated and gone home to be with the Lord. So let's ask the question, what is this course designed to do for you and for me? It is designed to lay a foundation, friends, a foundation of biblical truth for a walk of faith using this textbook, the ABCs for Christian Growth, and supplement that with in-class teaching materials, face-to-face teaching. Now, the book divides into three sections, as we're going to look at in your handout in just a minute. But the textbook is worth reading, and I believe it's worth owning. It will supplement what we teach in class. It's not a requirement. You don't have to get the book. But if you're someone who's interested in knowing some basic principles and have a great resource for yourself for years to come that you could look back at and you could study, this is a great book for you to purchase. So I just want to mention that on the book there. You can order it on our table over there. We need to get that out maybe tonight, Nate, so that people who want to order it, they can order it. You can even go online at www.bible.org and you can see the book, and I think you can read it there online. You might want to share it with someone else and read it with them. But I recommend that you read as we teach each lesson. It will benefit you more if you do so. Now, the textbook divides into three parts, and that's those blanks, A, B, C, under section 1 on your handout. What does it divide into? First of all, the assured life. The assured life. What is that about? It's about our position and our possessions in Christ. Who I am and what have I in Christ. And there's a number of passages there. We're not going to look at those passages tonight. But assurance, again, friends, is about knowing. Knowing for sure the truth of God's Word. Knowing that you have eternal life, that you've been saved by God's amazing grace. Knowing that you're walking to please Him. It speaks of laying a strong foundation of the facts from God's Word in your mind and heart, so as you live it out by grace, you can be successful and victorious in your Christian life. Without the assurance of God's Word, the gospel of grace, the person of Christ, you will not grow spiritually. You need to have these things. God wants you to know His truth. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it admonish you, correct you, teach you," and so on and so forth. The second part of this book is about the transformed life. The transformed life. And it speaks of a changed life or a walk of faith. Who and what am I trusting in each day to accomplish this walk? Am I trusting myself? Am I trusting something else? Am I trusting God Himself? And it speaks of the practice of the truth that has been learned from Bible study. God not only wants to save your soul, but He wants to transform your life, friends. The ABC series will lay a foundation to accomplish that very thing. God can then supernaturally transform you into the image of Christ. How? By the very Spirit of God, through the very Word of God, as you see the glory of God reflected in Scripture. And that's why in Scripture, here's a passage here I'll call your attention to just for a minute. Colossians 2:6-8 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." Now, receiving Christ, how do you receive Him? By faith. By faith alone in Christ alone, by trusting in Him as your personal Savior. Well, I'm assuming possibly that you are all saved here tonight, and I trust you are. But if you've never received Christ at a point in time, Jesus died upon the cross, that you could be saved, that you could receive Him, that's the starting point. That's, again, first-hand salvation, but then in second-hand salvation, so that you can now walk in Him. He wants you to walk in Him. Now, this word walk is in the active voice. It's something you need to choose to do. It doesn't happen by accident. You need to choose to do that very thing. But then the verse goes on to say the fact that you're rooted, you're built up, and you're established in the faith. These are all in the passive voice, which means God works this into you, and you do become rooted and built up and established in Him as you choose to walk with the Lord and depend upon Him. That's what God would have for you. As you have been taught, abounding with Him in thanksgiving. Notice, though, this rootedness, this built up and established, it has to do with you having been taught. That's why you need to be in a place where you're taught the Word of God. It doesn't happen by accident. You mean to say I can't stay home and read on my own and learn? Yes, you can. But God has given pastor teachers and local churches where the Word of God can be taught, which can advance your spiritual growth even more rapidly by God's amazing grace. We'll look at that verse 8 at a later time. The third aspect of this book has to do with the multiplied life. The multiplied life. This concerns our stewardship. Every believer has been given a stewardship. How will you use your talents, your treasures, and your time in light of what you know? And that's what God wants us to understand in light of this. What have you gained from God's word and practiced by His grace should then be used to assist or disciple others for salvation or for spiritual growth. God wants to use you to minister to the needs of the saved and the lost, and this stewardship God has for you. Matter of fact, let's look at a couple of verses here. Let's look at, we're back up to 1 Peter. We're close to that one. Go there. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 says this. This is the multiplied life. As each one has received a gift, and we all have get spiritual gifts, minister it one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're to use what we have, not for ourselves, in other words, even my gift, to stay home and to talk to my living room walls. What would it value, the church? It wouldn't value at all. So I've come here to minister to you, and I trust you've come here to minister to me and to each the other. That's how this gift, spiritual gift things works. Go with me to Galatians, if you would. Galatians chapter 6. Yes, you can exercise your gifts at home, but they're for others. They're not just for yourself. Galatians 6:10 says this. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and that's what we're always looking for, that's what Duluth is looking for, opportunities, where to go, what to do with the knowledge they have. Let us do good to all, but especially to those who are the household of faith. And this is where the multiplied life comes in. It comes in manifesting our gifts and our knowledge towards others. Now, many of you have heard of these truths already, but do not think for a moment that you are beyond the basics, the ABCs. Do not think that you do not need the basics. We all need them every day. Let me give you an illustration of that. You know, do we use the ABCs of the alphabet every day? Well, we've already used it tonight because we've learned those ABCs and learned letters so that we could read words and read sentences. So way back when somebody taught you the ABCs when you were in kindergarten, maybe pre-kindergarten, maybe in the first grade for you, and they taught you the ABCs so that you could learn those letters, know the sounds of those letters, and then form simple three-letter, four-letter, five-letter words and begin to read. When I was a Gibbs student, I studied the Greek language, and we began, guess what, with the Greek alphabet, learning those letters, learning the sounds of those letters so that we could form the Greek words and read those Greek words and then put the words together into sentences and begin to read Greek. I mean, if you've taken any kind of foreign language, you know exactly. That's how it has to go. And this is how it is with Bible study as well, friends. You need to get the ABCs, the foundational principles, down in your thinking. So with that in mind, let's move on and look at the importance then of spiritual growth. God's desire for you is to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And knowledge means we need some facts for our faith. This is true whether it be for salvation, for spiritual growth, or for earnestly contending for the faith against some adversary. And there are adversaries, friends. Spiritual growth is important, and it all begins with the basic ABCs. And that's why what we really need to understand and have a handle on here somewhat is this idea of doctrine and sound doctrine. We have a overhead we use from time to time to say, why is sound doctrine so important? Doctrine is nothing more than teaching the principles of the Word of God. And I've highlighted just a couple of points here. Sound doctrine is the essential for proper spiritual nourishment and growth. We can grow without sound doctrine. Health, life-giving doctrine. Number four here, sound doctrine is the means of spiritual stability amongst believers. The more doctrine you have, the more grounded you will be, and the better it will be for you. Now, to illustrate that a little more, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll jump in here at verse 14 and read. Paul is writing to Pastor Timothy, and he tells him that you must continue in the things which you have learned. Notice, he had learned some basics, he had some foundational truth, And we must continue, though, in those things. Okay? That's very, very important. Which we have learned and been assured of. Notice that's where assurance comes from. Learning the Word of God, assurance comes right from that. And knowing them from whom you have learned them. And that from a child you have known what the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Learning the Word of God can bring you the knowledge of salvation. Very, very important. Through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Because he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching or doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man, the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. So we're to continue in these things for salvation, for instruction in righteousness. We need to know these things. Now go with me to Jude, if you would. Way to the right. In your Bible. Jude, one chapter. Verses 3 and 4. Jude was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Beloved, verse 3, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, that's what he wanted to write about, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. This whole letter has to do with teaching believers to contend for the faith. There's a spiritual battle going on. We're contending. Why? Verse 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. They are ungodly men, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So this first blank there, the importance of the ABCs, you need sound doctrine for at least three things. Number one, to be saved. First blank. Okay? Secondly, to grow spiritually or to spiritually grow. And thirdly, to combat false teaching as it is out there. We need these truths. And that's why we need to remember, no one will be saved if we do not know the ABCs of the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the content of the gospel? What's it all about? And if we don't teach it by grace and how to respond through faith, and we add one work to the gospel of Christ that nullifies the grace of God, and people, it becomes another gospel and people don't get saved. And that's why it's very, very important that we understand as a local church here, and everyone should understand, that the church is built upon Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church, but it's the Bible, it's the ABCs, the foundational principles of that book that we want to establish. And this introductory message is just to explain this to you so that you can see you can't go to such and such a church if they're not built on the Word of God. That's why we are a Bible church. And we believe the grace of God and the Word of God is foundational in our thinking. Very, very important here. Okay? You need the ABCs for spiritual growth. The ABCs are vital for you and for me for spiritual growth. There's the need for spiritual growth, and that's why in our Christian life, once we've been saved by grace, there is this process here. This is overhead was used for another truth, another teaching, so disregard all these other things. But notice, when you are born again here at a point in time, you are a spiritual babe in Christ. And there's this process during sanctification of the believer where you go from spiritual babyhood to adolescence onto spiritual maturity. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're on this line someplace. Usually we think, well, we're way up here someplace, when in reality, we may be not as far along as we should be. But that's why, it's because we forget the principles of the grace of God, and we tend to forget those things, and we need to be reminded of those things over and over and over again. In my book here, on page 5, I'm going to read here just a portion out of this, what it says here about doctrine. And so you don't have to have a book. I'll give you everything I can out of this book by the grace of God, but it's very, very important here. Doctrine is simply another name for teaching. Theology. I can find my spot here. It means the knowledge of God. Often the term theology is used in a general way to refer to other areas of study that relate to the knowledge of God. Biblical theology is simply the truth of God's Word that give us the knowledge of God, of man, of salvation, of of sanctification, the church or life, and how to live abundantly in that life. So, just a quote again on what the ABCs is really all about and how doctrine is important. Every believer needs the fundamentals of the faith. Every believer needs to be grounded in these ABC truths of Scripture. And that's why I even would like to mention the fact that, you know, no matter what you do in life, if you have a profession, if you've gone to school or whatever you've done, I know before I was a pastor here, I was a painting contractor, and to be a painter, when I was young, my dad was a painter, and he got me a job with his boss, and they demanded that I go to an apprenticeship school. And I would go to school and learn some basic principles about painting, and it doesn't matter if you're a carpenter, if you're a plumber, any kind of tradesman, they have these apprenticeships so that they can learn from a book the basic principles. Whether you're a surgeon, that's true, you had to go to school to learn all these things. So this can be applied to any area, friends. I just want you to note that. I don't care if you're an athlete, you're a tradesman, or what you are, you need to get the basics down, and that's why we're going to study this passages of Scripture and this book about this. And that's why this is God's Word, and there are basic principles you and I need to be saved, to live victoriously, to live abundantly as God would have us to. Is it any wonder that Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer in John 17:17, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And that's why God wants us to keep hearing the word of God, keep responding in faith to the word of God. And truth is basic to spiritual growth. Truth is not an end in itself, but it's one of the things that God uses to mature us into effective, skillful, journeyman believers. If you've heard that term journeyman in a trades, if you're a journeyman painter, a journeyman plumber, a journeyman carpenter, you've done your time. You should know the basic principles. You should know how to build, start a wall or whatever, and do it. That's what God wants us to do. Be skillful journeymen believers for His glory. And as we respond by faith to God's truth, by applying His word to life, God will bring you along to become mature, the believer that He wants you to be. Just add the word of God, mix some faith with it, expose your mind to the word of God, and pretty soon you begin to grow spiritually in the Christian life, and you begin to grow more and more. Now, false teaching erodes the foundational ABCs of God's words and substitutes it with things like rituals, formality, tradition in the church. And that's why we're not into those things. We're into Bible study. We want to know what God has said. We want to know how to live it. Thus, the ABCs on your handout of the Bible, if it's known, understood, and applied, will lay a foundation to protect you against false teachers and what they say. It will protect you. And to see that, back up a few pages again to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice the first three verses here. Peter says to those he writes to, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. They are everywhere, friends, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many, not just some, but many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Notice they're against the truth, they're going to blaspheme the truth, they're not going to hold to the truth. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Okay? And in 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says, but I fear, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. And friends, today there are many forms of philosophy that are out to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And what are some of them? Well, in the past there's been this prayer of Jabez that everybody jumped on. A prayer from the Old Testament, not even given to the church, that they tried to apply to the church. There's this modern Christian psychology, which has become a parasite to the church. And it's said for 1900 years before there was any psychology at all. How did the people in the church ever survive, before Christian psychology? There's lordship salvation. There's the purpose-driven church movement. There's postmodern emergent church movement that seeks to redefine Christianity and gets you to into candles and all this other stuff instead of, again, just the Word of God. Okay? Now, on page 9 in the book, again, let me just read you another quote. It says, "No superstructure can be built, spiritually speaking, so that it can withstand the spiritual torrents it will face without a proper foundation of truth from God's Word." Again, it's bringing us back again to that foundation that we need to have. And this is what the ABCs series is designed to be, to provide a proper foundation of Christian growth. And what are some of the things that we're going to learn about here that ABCs would really consider doctrinal or basic truths? How about the grace of God? Really important to understand the grace of God in every aspect. What it has to mean. God's unmerited favor towards you. God giving you what you don't deserve. Speaks of heaven. How about even understanding the way to be saved here? There's the, you know, the broad way which leads to hell. The narrow way which leads to heaven. We're going to talk about the three tenets of salvation again. The gospel. Very, very important. How to be saved from sin's penalty which takes place in the past in your life. How to be saved in the present from sin's power in your life. And one day in the future, how you're going to be saved from sin's presence, as there's no sin in heaven. Not only that, but we also teach, the Bible teaches, that once a person has been saved by grace through faith, they're eternally secure. They can never lose their salvation again. Very, very important to understand eternal security. It's not just another doctrine. It's very, very important. How about the difference between the family of God and fellowship with God? Very, very important that people understand. Because when you sin in the Christian life, sin takes you out of fellowship with God, but it can never take you out of the family of God. Why is that? Because sin is not the issue. The Son is the issue, because on the cross, Christ died for every sin, past, present, and future. And if I'm willing to confess my sin and look to the Lord, He can restore me and I can be in fellowship again by God's amazing grace. That's very, very important to note. And that's why we need to understand as well the difference between the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. If you can make this distinction in your thinking, knowing who the natural man is, he's not saved. The spiritual man is God's ideal, and the carnal man is the spiritual man depending upon himself, doing his own thing. We'll talk about these in greater detail. That's why we understand that every believer who's been saved by the grace of God has this sinful nature called the flesh within him. He also has a new divine nature because he's trusted in Jesus Christ, and now God the Holy Spirit lives within him. And the battle rages here between what the flesh wants and what the new nature wants, and that's why we need to keep yielding again to the Spirit of God and letting the Word of God get into our thinking so that we can walk in faith depending upon the Lord. We need to understand how to faith rest in the Christian life. Claiming the promises of God and getting that Word of God into our thinking and resting upon that. We need to understand who God is. God is one, but at the same time, the New Testament teaches He's three persons who is one God. Can you get your hand on that one? I can hardly get my mind around that. I've been saved for 30 years. This is an amazing thing. But I believe the Trinity. We also need to understand who God is, and we need to understand about the attributes of God, that He's sovereign, He's righteous, He's just, He's a God of love, He's eternal life, He knows everything, He's with us here, He has the power to deliver, He doesn't change and He tells the truth, thus He's faithful. These are other things that we need to study with these things that are very, very important to understand. Okay? So let's keep moving here. Second point here is the importance of foundational stability. The importance of foundational stability. All enduring spiritual growth originates upon a stable foundation. That's the word you want there. A stable foundation. And to understand that, let's look at the importance of this stability here from 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 14. Paul says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation," what's this foundation? Jesus Christ. You can build with two kinds of building material, gold, silver, and precious stones, or he can build with wood, hay, and straw. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort or quality their post-salvation Christian life is. If anyone's works which he builds endures, if he builds with gold, silver, and precious stone, it's going to endure. He will receive a reward. This passage is about rewards earned after you've been saved for how you live your post-salvation life. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Loss of what? Loss of these rewards. But notice, he himself will be saved. In the future, passive indicative, you will be saved, yet so as through the fire. No Christian will be lost, but everyone's going to be judged. And we're to build our Christian lives on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's what this passage teaches. Now notice this passage. Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus said, and notice this, not only hears them, but does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Who is the rock? Well, the rock is Jesus Christ. That's who the rock is. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the shifting sands of everything everybody is saying, and everybody's jumping on something new because there's something new coming out, instead of what the Word of God has to say. Friends, very, very important. That's the point here. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. From the ABC's book, here's another quote. Page 10, second paragraph. In the storms of life that the wind and torrents of opposing rain come against, they would not be able to affect the foundation built on the truth of Christ, like it would on the philosophy of the world. And that's why a stable, sure foundation is needed to build your spiritual life upon. And that's why I wanted to share here again this verse from, that's not the one I want, my Colossians. I thought I laid it aside, but it's probably on the bottom. Here it is. Now notice this passage in Colossians again. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, we're to walk in Him. Notice this positional truth again. It's in Him, and we're rooted, and we're built up again in Him, and established, notice this, in the faith, based upon the principles of the Word of God. Very, very important. As you have been taught, if you're being taught, okay? And abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, in the next verse here, he gives a warning to the people of Colossae and to us. Beware, though, lest anyone cheat you, capture you through some philosophy. Now, isn't the Bible a philosophy? Yes. But the source of that philosophy is God. The philosophy in this verse has a different source. Through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the, notice the tradition of man, there's the source of this philosophy, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. There's the difference, and that's what we want to see and catch that difference. Whatever I teach here, you bring your Bibles, you check me out, and if I'm wrong, you just come up and talk to me, we'll talk about it. Okay? And you might have an issue with something I say, because I don't say everything just right, and I'm not the greatest speaker in the world, but here I am. I'm here to teach the Word of God. So if we boiled away all the supporting things of your spiritual growth and focused on the essential elements we need to find, would Jesus Christ, His Word, and the grace of God be the foundation of your Christian life? I hope it would be, friends. I hope it would be. And that's why Jesus said, abide in me. Abide in me. And I in you. And you shall bear much fruit. What does this idea of abiding mean? It means to stay close, or to stay in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Abiding, the idea of abiding means we're staying inside of this circle. Now, Scott Johnson, I've heard him say this in the past, is when his kids go out at night and he doesn't know where they're going, he says, remember, Stay in the circle. He's saying this circle right here. He wants his kids to stay in fellowship. He says, remember, stay in the circle. And his kids answer him, stay in the circle, yes, and trust in the triangle. Stay in the circle, trust in the triangle. You get that down and teach your kids that principle. That will be very helpful for you to know those truths, that truth. Stay in the circle. They need to understand the difference between being in the family of God and how they can go out and do what they want and get out of fellowship. But they need to stay in fellowship, trust. Stay in the circle, trust in the triangle. Trust in the Lord. Depend upon Him in your Christian life. So how can you describe this foundation here in three words? I should get my other one out here. I've got so many going here. Well, I would just say this. It is all this is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is foundational, friends. He is the foundation we build our life upon. He's the Word of God incarnate. He is the living Word. He is the written Word of God. And that's why, let's go to Colossians here for a minute. Colossians chapter 3. Let's just read these verses we read last Wednesday night, 3:1 and following. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek those heavenly, eternal, spiritual things where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Why should I do that, Pastor? Because you died, remember? When you trusted Christ, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, there's double eternal security. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. But in the interim, what am I to do? Well, you're to seek those things above. But look at verse 16. You're to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's in the present tense. Keep letting it dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, let it teach and let it admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Okay? All right. Let's move on to letter C on our handout there. Letter C tells us that spiritual growth and maturity is what we're after here. And how does this get accomplished? Well, God desires all His children to spiritually grow. Now, how are you going to grow? Well, letting the Word of God dwell in us, like you just said, right? In the Scriptures, there is a divine plan with dual responsibilities here. That includes church leaders as well as every believer are responsible for this. We recognize, of course, it's all by the grace of God. No doubt about that, friends. But on a human level, He holds us all responsible for growth. Okay? Who specifically is responsible for this? Well, I put a couple of blanks on your handout there. First of all, spiritual leaders, church leaders, are responsible to provide all things necessary. That's for the blank. For growth and maturity of the believer in the church. All things necessary. Now, I'm going to show you the responsibility of spiritual leaders in a number of passages, and this is for that small blank in between if you want to write something down. And then the responsibilities of those under their care. First of all, let's go to Acts 20. Responsibility of spiritual leaders. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is going back to Jerusalem. He stops just outside of Ephesus at Miletus, and he calls for the elders, the spiritual leaders of the church at Ephesus, to come. We're having a Bible conference over here in Miletus. I want to talk to you guys. That's what verse 17 says. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Notice it's the elders of the church. Now what is he going to teach them? Tell them. Look at verse 20. He says, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to the Gentiles, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle passed on what he had to these spiritual leaders in the church. Right? Okay? What were they then to do? Jump ahead to verse 27. We can't read all these verses. He says, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Here's your job. You shepherd the church of God. Care for them. Tend them. Feed them. Okay? "Which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch." Remember, there's Peter's words, remember? "That for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." Why that? Because that's what's able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are being sanctified. Okay? So we see this is what's happening here, that the Apostle Paul, he had all authority in the church, passed off to these elders and other people the truths of the Word of God. That's what leaders are supposed to do. Go with me to Ephesians 4 now. I'm going to labor here for just a few minutes before we go on, because I think this is important. In Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul tells us that the ascended Christ gave gifts to his church. Verse 7, "To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Verse 11, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." So he gave those spiritual leaders to the church from heaven. He gifted certain men, and he still is gifting them when they get saved. And what is their job? Their job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Their job is to edify the body of Christ. Your job is to do that until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, so that each man can be perfected or brought to that spiritual maturity that they should, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why? Verse 4, "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about like spiritual tumbleweed, blown this way with this doctrine, something else comes down the pike and we're blown over this way, and we're just tossed to and fro." See? He says, "You know, I want you to do that. I want to ground you in the truth so that that doesn't happen to you by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But instead, you're to do this. Speak the truth in love, that they may grow up in all things to him who is the head, even to Jesus Christ." Okay? Go with me to 1 Peter now. What did Peter say to those he wrote to? 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5:1, "The elders who are among you, I'm exhorting those men." Okay? "I who am a fellow elder," he didn't even claim to be an apostle here, just a fellow elder. He's just one of the spiritual leaders. "But I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." Here's your job, men. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as an overseer. Take the leadership, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those who entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So here's the job of spiritual leaders to do these things. Now let's look at the second half of this. It's not on your handout there. It's between that blank, remember? What are the responsibilities of those under their care? You! Well, let's keep reading here. Let's read 1 Peter 5:5. "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to your elders, yea, and all of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility." Why is that? Because God resists proud peacocks, but he gives grace to humble servants. That's why. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares, your problems, and difficulties upon him." Why is that? Because he cares for you. Okay? Let's look at a couple other passages here. Let's turn back to, I think it's 1 Thessalonians I want. So I want Hebrews 13, just a couple of pages to the left. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, 7. The writer of Hebrews says to the Hebrew believers, "Remember those who rule over you," your spiritual leaders,
who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct.
Okay, look at verses 17 and 18 of this passage. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Don't forget that. That would be unprofitable for you. Back up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I think it's important to remind people of these things. I have a responsibility. You have a responsibility here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you." Notice spiritual leaders are, first of all, among the people. They're no different than anybody else. They're saved by grace. They put their pants on one leg at a time each day. Okay? They're among you, but not only that, they are over you in the Lord. They have a position of authority given to them by Christ. And their job is to admonish you, correct, bump, challenge. Okay? And your job is to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And by the way, be at peace among yourselves. Stop quarreling within the church. Trust the Lord. God's in control, even of that spiritual leader. Okay? So we see here, the first point here is spiritual leaders are responsible to prove all things that are necessary so that people can grow spiritually. And that's why I do not want anyone to be able to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and say, the leadership at Grace Gospel Bible Church starved me spiritually. I don't want anybody to say that. Okay? I am the way I am because they didn't teach me anything at the Grace Gospel Bible Church. And that's why, friends, if you think you're taught the Word of God here, let me challenge you with this thinking here. God's structure, the design church, is that Jesus Christ, He is the head of the church. I recognize that there are leaders in the church. There are administrative elders, teaching elders, deacons, and there's a spiritually gifted congregation. And your job is to submit to me as I submit to the Christ. Matter of fact, why don't we all just submit to Christ? And if we see that He has a plan, that He's placed under shepherds in the church, and He's placed you as part of the congregation, that's His plan. That's the way the structure of the local church is to be. Let's just trust the Lord there. And you know, leaders of the church get disciplined twice as hard than you do. If I'm out of line, God knows how to handle me. James 3:1 says, "Be not many teachers, for you will receive the stricter condemnation for teaching what's wrong." Don't do that, Dave. Don't do that. And that's why, you know, if you feel you're being taught the Word of God here, throw out your anchor and tie up. We'd love to have you. You need to support me. I want to feed you the Word of God. We're all serving the Lord. That's how it's supposed to work. That's the way a local church is supposed to operate. And I'm to give an answer to Him. I'm responsible to you, but I'm going to answer to Him. One day I'm going to stand before Him, and so are you. And I don't want you to say, they didn't teach me anything at Grace Gospel Bible Church. I'm spiritually anemic because I wasn't taught the Word of God. I don't want that to happen. Okay? So I have a responsibility as a spiritual leader. But number two, every believer is responsible for his or her own spiritual growth and maturity. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Now go to Psalm 1 with me for a moment. Psalm 1. Here the psalmist sets forth in Psalm 1, first three verses, some principles that are very good. He says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't live like an unbeliever, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." That's why he's delighting in His Word, letting it dwell in him richly. "And in His law he meditates in the Word of God day and night." When he does that, he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's going to bring forth His fruit in His season. Notice God wants fruit from you and from me, whose leaf shall not prosper, and whatever He does, it will prosper. God wants to prosper you. God wants to prosper me. That's why God has designed the local church to function this way. Each church is to be independent to the Lord. I'm going to give an answer. Everybody's going to give an answer to Jesus Christ. I'm going to give an answer for what I've done and how I've led. And if I'm out of line, God can handle me. God has a bigger stick than Dave Knutson. He can handle me. No doubt about it. Let's go back to the New Testament and look at a few other verses. Go with me to 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at verse 13. We'll start there. Paul, Apostle Paul, writing to Pastor Timothy again, says here, "Till I come, give attention to reading the Scriptures, exhorting the Scriptures, and teaching the Scriptures, doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Pastor, this is your job. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed, Dave, to yourself first and foremost, and to the teaching. Continue in them, for in doing this you will both save yourself and them who hear you." But, and I would like to say this, that although this is applied to spiritual leader, Timothy, it can be applied to you as a minister. You have a ministry. I have a ministry. Notice, you're to meditate on these things. You're to give yourself entirely to them. And think about this now, friends. If you could think that I could do something other than preparing messages to teach you what the Word of God has to say, you tell me what it is. I mean, in some churches, the pastors are running around doing everything. And everybody, it's like the Rose Bowl game. 100,000 people are in dire need of exercise watching 22 men kill themselves on the field. And you might be sitting out there watching the pastor run around, do everything while you just sit there, you know, polish your nails or whatever. I'm to teach you how to do it so that you do it. See? And then as we multiply this effect, more gets done. And that's what's happened in Duluth, is that Pastor Roxler has trained men to know the Word of God through this Gibbs situation. And as they have surfaced and matured, God is using them all over the world. It's amazing. I mean, who would have thought that? Duluth, Minnesota, where I grew up, that could have happened. It's grace. Because God likes to use foolish things. And if you don't think too much of yourself, and you see that you're all in all is Jesus Christ, maybe God can use you. Maybe He can use me. Let's hope that that's true. But we're to meditate on these things. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go there for a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says in verse 15, "Be diligent," or study, as the King James used to say, "be diligent to present yourself approved to God. You need to be a worker who does not need to be ashamed, by rightly dividing the word of truth." You need to know it, though, to do that, right? Absolutely, you need to know it. And then I would just close with 2 Peter 3:18. It says, "Grow in grace," and the subject of that is you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thus, everyone is to do that very thing, and we're to function as part of a local church as in God's design here. Okay? Now, do you truly desire to grow spiritually? That's the next question. And let me appeal to a couple of things. First of all, let me appeal to you with a selfish perspective on that. Do you personally want a peaceful life, greater joy in your Christian life, inner strength to live this life, a greater reward in heaven when you get there? Of course you do. So, especially for selfishness, you should want to serve the Lord and grow. And spiritual growth will give you more and more of those things through the knowledge and an increasing control by the Spirit of God to have those things. Secondly, from a biblical perspective, do you want Jesus Christ to be glorified in your life and in your marriage and in your family? Do you want others benefited by their contact with you as you are someone they like to be around because you seem to understand the scriptures and you seem to be a godly person? You know, the lost need to be saved, the saved need to be encouraged and built up, and God wants to use you to do it. He wants to use me to do it. But only mature believers can really benefit others on a consistent basis. Do you want these things, friends? Then you need to grow spiritually. Do you want to be a wise man? Okay, let me just pull this up here again. Do you want to be the wise man who builds his house on the rock? Or would you rather be a foolish man who builds his house on the sand? Okay? Fools despise wisdom and instructions. Fools build their lives upon the shifting sands of humanism. But wise men and women listen to Christ's teaching and build their lives on Him, on Scripture. Now, the next question, does every believer grow spiritually? And the answer to that is no. No. Does every tradesman excel? Does every athlete excel? No, they don't. Only those who apply the basic principles they know in their trade or their profession will. Okay? I have observed believers over the years who sit in church and never really grow to a point where God brings mature fruit from their lives. And others are significantly benefited from them. They should be. What's the problem there? Go with me to 1 Corinthians. I'll show you what the problem is. First Corinthians, it's the problem we all have. It's called carnality. Paul writes to these Corinthian believers who had all the spiritual gifts, chapter 1 tells us, and he says in 3:1, "And brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual Christians, but as to carnal Christians. You're just babes, but you're in Christ." Notice that. "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still willfully carnal, yielded to the flesh, not to the Spirit. For whereas there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like natural, mere men?" That was the problem. That's why, again, as I think of my, if I can find it, I've got too many overheads here tonight. Here it is. Here it is right here. It's one thing to start the Christian life in spiritual diapers, but it's another thing to stay in spiritual diapers. You don't want to do that. It's natural. We all started in physical diapers, didn't we? We did. But if you were 15 and still wearing them, there's a problem right there. And that's why one of the greatest shames to Jesus Christ and Christianity is a believer who does not grow to trust the Lord daily with the things of life. When squeezed by the trials of life, they panic. They're hypocritical before their children. They become bitter. They get frustrated. They can use bad language. They can show disrespect. They can rebel. They go into panic palace. "I'm not going to get this done." Relax. You need to learn to look to the Lord. Isn't He sovereignly in control? "Well, yeah, but I've got to get this. I've got to do that." It just shows that where you're really at spiritually. Instead of trusting the Lord and becoming more mature, you think you're way up here and no, you're way back. You're way back. And that's what brings it out. That's why God brings the trials to put the squeeze on you and me to show us where we're really at. Oh, Pastor, you had to say that, didn't you? And that's why growing as a Christian is really a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And that's why, do I want to grow? Do I want to be what God would have me to be? Do I want to bring forth fruit that is 30, 60, 100-fold fruit? I do. And by God's grace, I need to mature to do that. I need to walk with the Lord. So what are the elements for spiritual growth to maturity? The last thing on your handout. I've given you 5 of these in the past. You know these, but let's go over these quickly. First one is time. Time. Let's go to Hebrews. We added an extra one here, Duluth did, and I think it's a good one. Hebrews chapter 5. You know, learning a trade takes time. Maturing physically takes time. This process of spiritual maturity doesn't happen. I've been at this 30 years and I'm not at the end. That's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I'm still pressing towards the mark. I haven't arrived, he said. And that's why all of us need to have that perspective, and it takes time to grow. You need time as a believer to grow. And, you know, Miles Sanford in his great book sets forth the fact that it takes 100 years to grow an oak tree. You can grow a squash in 4 months. You can grow a mushroom overnight. You want to be a mushroom for Jesus Christ? You know, it takes time. It does. It takes time. That's why in Hebrews 5:11, if I can get there, the writer says this, of whom, in reference to Christ, of whom is referring back to verse 5, so also Christ. Okay, verse 11. Of Christ we have much to say, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. These Hebrew believers had turned down their hearing aids. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, notice, by this time, they had some time. You ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. That's the ABCs. Okay? And you have become need of milk, ABC truth, and not solid food. Okay? So we need this truth. This time they should have grown to, but they still needed milk. They couldn't take solid food. They were incapable of it because they had retrogressed instead of going this way in their Christian life. They were now sliding back. This means they're never going to be lost again, but they're moving back towards spiritual immaturity in their Christian life. Secondly, you need truth. You need truth, and that's what's mentioned there in verse 12. They had been hearing the ABCs of the first principles. Notice verse 13 with me. For everyone who partakes only of milk. Now that means some people, that's all they can handle. But it also means this. Every believer, even mature believers, should still be partaking of the milk of the Word. It's basic. And although not every adult, and I'm one of them that doesn't drink milk at every meal like I used to as a youngster, because now I'd rather drink water, I have coffee in the morning, but I still have a glass of milk from time to time, and I don't like water on my cereal, so I still get a little bit of milk, see, from time to time. I still need milk, and so do you. Okay? That's the point right there. We need that truth. So it's not wrong that older believers partake of milk. They need it. But that's all these older believers who should have known better, didn't know better, could do. See in verse 13 there. What's the difference between solid food and milk? Well, solid food is a greater depth and understanding of the milk of the Word, of salvation in its three tenses, being eternally secure, of family fellowship, getting a greater understanding of that truth. Okay? So what is the answer again? Put your finger here and go back with me to Titus chapter 2. It's teaching. It's doctrine. A couple pages to the left here. The book or two before Hebrews is Titus 2. And Titus, who was sent to Crete to establish the believers there, he tells in verse 2:1, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound, healthy, life-giving doctrine. And you're to teach these truths to who? Verse 2, older men. Verse 3, older women. Verse 4, the young women. Verse 6, the young men. Everyone needs these things. Okay? How about verse 9? How about bondservants and slaves? They needed it too. And that's why this chapter incorporates everyone. How important is God's Word to you? Are you growing in grace? Yeah, I come out when I can. I check in when I can. When it's convenient for me. That's not the priority that you need to have. You need to make it a very priority. It takes time. It takes truth. But thirdly, it takes teachers. Teachers. And we saw from Ephesians 4 that there are pastor teachers. Let me just take this down for a second and put up another little overhead here. You need time, truth, teachers. Teachers, You know, when you get saved, when you trusted in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is your inner teacher. God's Spirit is the one that authored the truth here, right? And if you have His Spirit, God's Spirit, when the truth of the Word of God is taught by a pastor teacher, the Spirit of God, and I just kind of pump it out there with a shotgun blast, boom, and that just fires up because I don't know what everybody needs. It's a shotgun blast, and the Spirit of God takes one, boom, puts it over here, and boom, puts another one over there. I don't know what you need. So I just kind of shoot the truth out there. And if you're in the Spirit and not in the flesh, the Spirit of God will take the truth of the Word of God and will get a hold of your mind and teach you the principles that God wants you to see. And if I, as the pastor teacher, am led by the Spirit of God, guess what? We're all on the same page. See how that works? And it's easy to understand and note that. So we have teachers of the Word of God. Number four, we need trials. We need trials because trials is the spiritual weightlifting that the believer needs to provide them a spiritual workout so they can now apply the truths of the Word of God and build spiritual muscle in your body. I could use a little bit more physical exercise. It may help me. That's why Psalm 119:71 says, the psalmist says, it was good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn your statutes and your truth. I need trials. And that's why you need trials. And that's why God just throws them in because He knows that's what we need. So we need, number five, we need trust. Now these first four are all by grace. God provides time, truth, trials, and teachers. But when it comes to trust, this is now your part. Because I need to take the Word of God and believe it for myself, right? I need to trust in the Lord. And that's why believers are to operate and walk by faith in their Christian life. And this last one, here it is. I'll put it down below here. We need tender, yielded volition. That's what we need. Tender, yielded volition. Now this isn't in any kind of order. I mean, you could take tender, yielded volition and put it right up here on top. That'd be okay, wouldn't it? What is tender, yielded volition? And that's why when you come to a sign on the road that says this yield, what does that mean? You have to back off and let the other guy go first. And that's why if God has a will in His life for you, and God says, I want you to yield tenderly to My volition, but your volition means you also choose to do that. You must choose to yield to the Lord. You know, the Lord Jesus said, I came not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. He had tender, yielded volition to the Father's will. And that's why Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice that it would be wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? Now, I ran out of room on your handout, but I just want to talk to you, first of all, since we're going to be talking about the assured life here in the few weeks to come, we want to talk about the truth of assurance here just briefly here. What is assurance? Assurance means freedom from doubt, the knowledge of certainty, absolute confidence. Assurance means I confidently know for sure. Okay? And since we're Hebrews here, let's just go to the right to 1 John. And let's see if this verse speaks to you. And you can have assurance of eternal life because the Bible says you can be assured. Excuse me, 1 John 5, 9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. So this is the witness of God which He testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made God to be a liar. Why? Because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life and that this life is in His Son. Verse 12, He who has the Son, guess what? He has his life. He has eternal life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know with assurance. And I added a word assurance there because that's what this means. That you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know you have eternal life? Have you ever been saved by grace? Have you followed what I've said tonight? I mean, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you should be saying, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I've understood everything that you said tonight, Pastor. That's an indication of assurance because God is assuring you with this understanding that you might know. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you know that truth, friends? Are you saved here tonight? That's what God wants for you. We'll pick this up next time as we talk about the gospel for the next couple of Wednesdays. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your grace and again for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've provided truth for us to grow by. And we trust as we think of this ABC series. And Father, I know that if these people will come on a regular, consistent basis, hearing the Word of God and getting grounded and having a foundation built into their life, they will know more Bible than most people in the Twin Cities. Not everyone, but most people. Now that shouldn't cause us to get us a fat head. That should cause us to humble ourselves and to realize, Father, you've entrusted us your word. We're to serve you. You want to use us to reach others with the message of the cross, to edify the body, to minister to the saints, to encourage people. And friends, I pray that if you've been fed the word of God tonight, that you would go home and just think through these things and think through your handout and realize, again, this is a place I can learn the word of God. We thank you, Father, for your truth. And again, this thing is your truth. It's not my truth. It's not Grace Gospel Bible Church's truth. We've been to the Scriptures back and forth in the Old Testament and the New Testament looking at principles of your word. We want you to speak to us from your word. But we want to get these ABCs down in our thinking that we might walk with you. We thank you for your goodness and for your grace. We commit our service to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.